Senate Health and Human Services Committee to order for Wednesday, March 14th. We have... Just as a matter of information, numbers 3 and 4, which are Senate File 709, it's a Senator Handbill, and number 4, Senate File 248, which is a Senator Fischbach bill, will be heard this evening because we will continue this evening, just so that if you are interested in those bills, you'll know that they'll be this evening. We will begin the agenda this morning with Senator Carlson and Senate File 2330. Senator Carlson, whenever you are ready, please join us at the table.
That's because you were just here.
Senator Carlson, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. For the record, John Carlson, Senate District 4. With me today is Andrea Rao. And basically what this bill would do, members, is allow some organizations some flexibility. The current law for the grant program for alternative counseling to abortion really was cut off at 2005 or so, and now this would just move it up so that organizations, especially in greater Minnesota, that have begun some of these services would have an opportunity to apply for the grants. And I think probably the best way to describe this a little bit better would be turning over to Ms. Rao.
Thank you, Senator Carlson. Ms. Rao, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Andrea Rao, and I'm here representing Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life, an organization representing more than 70,000 member families and over 200 chapters across the state. I'm pleased to be here today to provide a little bit of background on a very minor modification to the positive alternatives law that was agreed to. Pro-lifers and pro-choicers came together years ago and passed this legislation with a wide bipartisan margin. I believe we got around 60 votes in the Senate. The Positive Alternatives Grant Program was first authorized by the legislature in 2005 with strong bipartisan support, as I mentioned. It provides competitive grants to programs that provide support and resources to pregnant women and children in their first year of life, and it has provided help to more than 25,000 women and their families. When the Positive Alternatives Law passed, it included a provision that required programs to have been in existence for at least 1 year as of July 1st, 2005, in order to be eligible to apply for the grants. The purpose of this provision was to ensure that programs would be proven and capable of being self-sufficient prior to receiving state funding and not being reliant on state funds, but rather using such funds to supplement their already existing work. While we want to maintain such non-reliance as a requirement for grant eligibility, there have been a number of new programs that have started since the original cutoff date. Many of these have now been around for several years and have had ample opportunity to prove themselves within their communities. Several of these newer programs also exist in areas of the state that have been slightly underrepresented by the current grantees. The legislation before you today makes just one minor change. It would expand eligibility by changing that cutoff date, specifying that programs must have been in existence for at least 1 year as of July 1st, 2011, in order to be eligible for the grants. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there questions from the committee? Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll stand for questions.
Okay. It does not appear as though there are questions from the committee. Senator Nenow, will you move?
I will. Madam Chair, does this bill go to the floor?
Hang on just a moment.
Madam Chair, do we have a quorum?
We were just trying to count, Senator Higgins, so thank you for pointing that out.
We do, yeah.
But we're also... Brad, who was supposed, Mr. Beers, who was supposed to tell me where the bill was scheduled to go, has disappeared. So, it goes directly to the floor? Okay, we found. I guess we will, since we don't have quorum, we will wait. If that is all right, you do have one more bill. So, there we go. Let the record show we do have quorum. Senator Nienau, would you move the bill?
Now I will make that motion,
yes, thank
Madam
you.
Chair. The bill would be recommended to pass and sent to the floor.
Senator Nienau has moved that Senate file 2330 be recommended to pass and move to the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Thank you, Senator
Madam
Carlson.
Chair, members. Thank you.
And Senator Carlson also has Senate file 1553 whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Senate file 1553 is really a temporary permit for dentists and dental hygienists. In Minnesota, I believe it's in Mankato this year, we're going to have a program where for 2 days we'll have dentists and hygienists from the state of Minnesota come in and converge and do free dentistry for folks that can't maybe afford it or have had some other problems getting their dental assistance. And all this does is allow those folks in the dentists and hygienists that are duly licensed in other states a temporary permit to come in and practice and provide their services for free. I think at this point I'd like to turn this over. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. We do have the A1 amendment.
Did you want to I'll move that, Madam Chair.
Senator Higgins moves the A1 amendment. This appears it's a delete all amendment. I believe it's in the packets, and it's as an author's amendment. This is the first hearing you've had.
Madam Chair, the coroner, it says 1533 A1. It is really to 1553. So don't get confused. You've got the right.
Well, Madam Chair, now I have to read the whole thing to make sure there's no more typos.
No promise. Madam Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Senator Nienau, I'm glad to hand that off to you today.
So Senator Higgins renews her motion on the A1 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted.
Thank
Senator
you, Madam
Carlson.
Chair. At this point, I'd like to turn testimony over to Mr. Dominic Spassetto.
Mr. Spassetto,
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Dominic Spassetto. I'm here representing the Minnesota Dental Association. We're working with Senator Carlson on this legislation. As he indicated, this is a piece of legislation designed for a specific program called the Mission of Mercy. It is a program that is set up by America's Dentist Care Foundation. Basically, it's a program to provide temporary dental equipment to volunteer dentists around the country so that they can provide totally free dental care to the people who need dental care. And the way this works is that they find the largest facility they can find in a community that is underserved. They go into that community. The first day they'll set up all the equipment, make sure everything runs smoothly, and make sure all the volunteers know where they're going to be. And then for 2 days, they will see anyone who shows up. Anyone who's willing to stand in line to receive dental care will get that dental care. We don't ask for remuneration. We don't ask for insurance cards. We don't ask for Medicaid eligibility. We just provide care to the people who need it. And then on the fourth day, we break down the equipment and then go on our way. Minnesota would like to do this program. This will be our first attempt at this. 18 other states are involved in this program, and we are looking to do one in the Mankato area. We have it scheduled already for the 16th through the 19th of August. It'll be at, I believe it's the Verizon Center. Sharon,
yes,
is the Verizon
yes, it
Center?
Is. Yes, it is.
And we're estimating that given the track record in other states that we're expecting to have about 2,000 people participate in this and probably donate over $1 million of dental care. So we think it's a very, very worthwhile program. This legislation and the amendment that was just adopted would create a temporary guest licensure for about, we estimate, 10 to 12 dentists that will be coming from other states to assist in this program. And there are two reasons that we do that. First of all, we have dentists in other states who have put this program on in their location. And so they're coming to help us set up and deal with the triage system and how we take people in and how we keep records, and how we make sure that the equipment works smoothly. And then second of all, we'll have dentists from other states who want to learn about this program so they can go back to their state and set up this type of program. So we're really talking about a handful of dentists. And so what we want to create is a temporary guest license which would allow them to come into Minnesota and practice. And it's a very limited license. That would be, first of all, they'd have to come in and practice without any compensation at all. So that limits it, obviously, up front. And we're limited to a temporary practice of 10 days, a maximum in a calendar year. Now, the reason we do 10 days is at some point in time we may want to do one or two of these programs. Technically speaking, it's really only 2 days of dental practice. So this would allow us to do up to five of these. Now, we're not that ambitious, but I'm just saying 10 days is the language that's been adopted in other states. The 18 states that have done this, 13 states have had to pass legislation for these non-residents to allow them to come into practice. Again, there's no compensation, and it's a limited license. The original legislation would have created what we were calling a temporary permit to practice. It would have done the same thing, except the Board of Dentistry pointed out to us that that would be a new category of licensing and would have created a fiscal note of some $40,000 to set up a computer system to handle these dozen people. And so we met with the Board of Dentistry, and we talked about maybe a better way to do this would be to already put it under what we call guest licensure. We have a guest licensure in Minnesota that if you practice in another state, you can apply for that and meet certain criteria and practice in Minnesota for compensation for that period of time in which you have the guest license. So we decided to put this under the guest license as a temporary guest license so we would eliminate the need to set up a new type of license in Minnesota. So we think we addressed that concern. The only thing that is somewhat different than the language that we were given from the Board of Dentistry, which is this amendment, is that the Board of Dentistry wanted to charge a $25 fee for this guest license. And and many people thought, since this is the first time we're doing this, we're only talking about 10 or 12 people, we thought we would let them do it without a fee. And keep in mind that they're giving up the time in their practice back in their hometown and then paying their own travel expenses to come here. And we didn't want to put up a barrier by saying you had to pay a $25 fee. And I've had several people offer to pay it for them, but we just think that we can go without the fee and avoid another fiscal note probably for this legislation. So, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Discussion on Senate File 1553. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just so that we're crystal clear, Senator Carlston, the fiscal note that I'm looking at in the file is out of date and has been eliminated with your A1 amendment, correct?
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Newman, that is my understanding.
Thank you, Senator Carlson.
Further discussion on Senate File 1553.
Madam Chair?
Yes, I was just about to mention there was another amendment.
Well, about the question about the fiscal note, we have not received any communication from the Dentistry Board that indeed the changes in the amendment eliminate the cost. But this bill is going to go to the Finance Committee, and between now and then we will have an opportunity to make sure that the fiscal note matches the amendment.
Have there been discussions with the board? Is there someone from the board that could clear that up potentially if there was a question directly to that? Senator Carlson, there is no one here from the board that could? Okay, well, we will then deal with clearing that up. But there is another amendment, is my understanding, I was told to remind you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, there is another amendment. This is a request to correct some language that was incorrect in the last biennial budget. And I think maybe it would be best to let Mr. Albrecht speak to that.
All right. Well, is it being handed out? Are we handing out the? And it is marked the A1 amendment, but it's.
Madam Chair and members, while it's being passed out, what this amendment does is correct a base rider from last year's omnibus bill. It's a base rider for the Board of Nursing Home Administrators, and if you look on page 3 on lines 3.6 and 3.7, you can see the change. And because of the way we write our base riders in this committee, we took away too much money. So this is increasing the base for this agent, or this board, I should say. And that's why this board is so concerned about it, because $50,000 is a lot of money to this board.
Questions for Mr. Albrecht? Senator Higgins moves the what do we call it, the correct A1 amendment?
Second A1.
He said they took away too much money.
To Senate File 1553. If there are no questions, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Any further discussion on, is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on Senate File 1553? I don't believe we actually had a motion. Senator Nienau, would you be willing to move Senate File 1553?
Madam Chair, I'll move Senate File 1553 be recommended to pass as amended and sent to the Finance Committee.
Sent to Finance. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Thank you,
Thank
Senator
you,
Carlson.
Thank you, members.
Senator Fischbach?
Senator Sharon.
Before the next item, I would like to say I hope that you'll communicate this effort and this generous initiative in order to help address what is an enormous need in the state for dental services. So I didn't say that during the hearing, but I certainly feel that way, and I know that we're all really grateful for this.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Higgins.
Let me also thank Mr. Sposetto right after the tornado in North Minneapolis last year. I found out that a lot of people had lost everything, including their toothbrush and toothpaste and dental floss and everything. So a call to Mr. Sposetto, who then called the foundation that the dentists have, they were able to provide that to a lot of residents in North Minneapolis, and it was really appreciated, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Next on the agenda, we have Senate File 1621 is Senator Cruz. I will welcome you to the committee, Senator, even though you were here last night with us till all hours. So,
thank you, Madam Chair and members. Yeah, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago, does it?
No, it really wasn't, Senator.
Madam Chair and members, before you today we have Senate File 1621. Very briefly, what this legislation does is it deals with accreditations. Currently in statute, we have specific accrediting organizations mentioned. What this legislation does is it sets a very high and a broad set of standards. You will see 8 in here, and eliminates those named accrediting organizations in there. I think it has been it's been a great compromise. You'll see that there's a packet of information that's been distributed for folks who have worked very hard on this and are now very supportive of that. We've also worked diligently with the department to make sure that we've covered all of those bases as well. Essentially, the intent of this legislation, as I mentioned, is to get rid of those names in statute in favor of a approved accreditation process to kind of open that up. That process will also include reassessment so that we're making sure that we're staying on top of those standards. And it is the intention of this legislation that those standards would be agreed upon with both the Department of Health and the Department of Education. Lately, we've seen trends to kind of join, especially in the area of early education, those two departments. I think this is kind of a great piece of legislation that steers us in that direction. And then it is the intent that that process is created by February 15th of 2013. And with that, to kind of put a little bit more personal spin on that, I would like to turn it over to one of my testifiers, Joe Paquette from the Primrose Academy.
Senator Cruz, I've just been handed the A3 amendment that I think you'd like to put on as an author's amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did forget about that. If I could have somebody offer the A3 delete all amendments.
Senator Marty offers the A3 amendment as an author's amendment to Senate File 1621. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. To the amended 1621. And if you might have moved to your testifiers, I don't have any names, so if you would give me your name and for the record, that would be wonderful.
Sure. My name is Joe Paquette. I'm the owner of the Primrose School of Maple Grove. I'm also building a second school up in Brooklyn Park. We're a private child care and preschool facility. And as Senator Cruz alluded to, I approached him about this bill, recognizing the need to take names out of statute. It made it a little bit difficult for our Primrose schools who seek a different accreditation to try to get our accreditation recognized by the state as a high-quality accreditation and some of the benefits that go with that. So we tried last year to get our name added in statute, realized that that was a rather cumbersome process and felt there was a better way to do it. So we worked with the senator, worked with Minnesota Child Care Association, and as well as the department to come up with a process that allows the department to approve these accreditations and to maintain and assess these accreditations over time so that it's not a legislative process, it's more of a business process. It also opens it up for a free market approach too. Different schools are going to have different accreditations, and being able to at least get their accreditations recognized through a fair and partial process, I think is going to be a better benefit for all the businesses in the state as well.
Thank you very much.
And Madam Chair, I do have one more testifier.
Yep.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Kenneth Bergman. I'm General Counsel for Advanced Education, Inc. We are the nation's largest accreditor. We accredit approximately 30,000 schools and institutions across the United States. We are the accreditation agency that provides accreditation to Primrose here in the state of Minnesota. And we were looking for a way to have the Primrose schools compete on an equal footing with other early learning centers throughout the state. When we first looked at this legislation, there was no place for us to provide that accreditation and provide them an equal opportunity within the market. So we have worked to go ahead and get this legislation moving forward. The standards that are being set out here and the themes of those standards really are standards and themes that are carried throughout all the nationally recognized early learning accreditation agencies. And so these are standards that the agencies that are providing accreditation services can meet. They will also go ahead and continue to move improvement of early learning centers throughout the state of Minnesota and provide a better standard of early learning centers for the citizens of Minnesota and give them the choice of where they want to send their children to receive early learning. And we thank you for your consideration of this legislation.
Questions for either of the testifiers or Senator Cruz? Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair, I see on lines 28 and 29 that the report from the commissioner is to go to the members of the legislative committees with jurisdiction, and we usually have the chair and the ranking members, or something, and I'm wondering if that exactly what you want, all members of the committee, or the chair and the ranking member to then get it to the rest of the members.
Senator Cruz?
Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, it was the intent to actually have a presentation brought before both the Education Committee and the Health and Human Services Committee, which has jurisdiction over these areas.
Okay.
Senator Higgins?
So the report should be oral as opposed to written?
Senator Cruz?
Madam Chair, that was the intent, that there would be the presentation before the committee. If there would be a desire to have a written report, we could do that. We just thought that it may be a little bit more resourceful and to not have to send out those reports, but rather just to do it as a presentation.
Senator Higgins?
I'm not going to be here next year, so you all figure it out.
advice from counsel if there is the language must report the criteria developed. It says must report. Senator Cruz's intent is to do a report to the full committee as an oral or oral report.
Yeah,
to make
sure.
I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, one option. I'm not sure what Senator Cruz would like to do, but would be to delete report and insert present. Must present the criteria, develop the application approval process.
Although I am being advised that if you say that it would be the option of the chair or whether or not to spend. So if we change it in the way that you're talking about, would that give them either, you know, they can appeal to the chair and say, we'd really like to do the presentation, but in a or they would have the option to deliver it as paper?
Correct.
Madam Chair, members, I guess, you know, taking a look at this concern, I feel like this allows some flexibility, that the language would allow that. We're being very clear that a report does need to be presented. And I guess I would look for direction from the committee as to whether we really need to restrict that one way or the other.
Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, I would tend to think the way we traditionally do it would be best, because if the chair decides he or she does not want the presentation, well, then the commissioner is out of luck if you put in there they must present, because who are they going to present it to if they're not allowed to? I think if you just require them to send it to the one to each party person, the chair and ranking minority member, frankly, they can send it to more, and now that it's done electronically, they probably would. The reason we used to do that is when it was paper copies, everybody was flooded with a lot of paperwork. It seems to me that the commissioner and the committee are going to want to have some sort of presentation, but I think if we just put it a fairly minimal amount so the committee gets the information, and then the chairs can push to get the commissioner to come. I mean, I think the commissioner will come if they force him to. I mean, if we request them.
and
Senator Cruz.
Madam Chair and Senator Marty, I am wholeheartedly in agreement with you on that. I think as long as we just present them the opportunity to get the report to them and fulfill this obligation, that's the intent. So I guess with that, I would look for recommendation from counsel on language that we typically use in statute to accomplish that in other areas.
Madam Chair and members,
Ms. White.
So you wanted to go to the chairs and the ranking minority members? On 1.28, after the first the, insert chairs and ranking minority.
Did everybody get that? Senator Marty moves the oral amendment reported by counsel. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Cruz, anything else you'd like?
No,
any
Madam
other
Chair, members,
additional questions? There are additional questions. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Cruz, very briefly. Has this bill been, or is it going to the Education Committee, and is there any fiscal ramifications?
Madam Chairwoman and Senator Newman, there has been no request from the Education Committee to hear this bill. I sit on that committee. And there is, to my knowledge, no fiscal note.
Senator Cruz, because of the issue that it does talk about the Commissioner of Education, it will have to go to Education. That's what I've just been informed. So, yes, it will go to – otherwise, there's no fiscal note that we've been made aware of. So you're correct on that. Further discussion?
And then with that, Madam Chair, just kind of a final note, final remarks. I think that this is a good standard to set. I think it's difficult to put names of organizations in statutes. Companies go out of business. Organizations go out of business. Names change. Things like that happen. So I think that in general, setting a set of standards to go by for this accreditation process is the best way to go, and would humbly ask for your Affirmative vote.
Senator Lurie.
I intend to vote for this, but Senator Cruz, you haven't removed any names in the A3 any longer.
Madam Chair and
Senator
Lurie,
Cruz,
if you read on the A3 amendment, I believe starting on line 1.29, going all the way to 1.31, that is the language that says those organizations that are listed directly after that would then go away and have to go through the process.
Okay, I mean, but they'd have to be, Madam Chair,
they'd Senator
have to
Lurie.
Be stricken later. I mean, they're not removed just yet, but point well taken.
Senator Newman.
Madam Chair, thank you. If we're ready, I will move the bill for Senator Cruz.
I believe we are. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move that Senate file 1621 as amended be recommended to pass and be sent to the Education Committee.
To Senator Newman's motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Thank you all very much for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Moving right along.
Mr. Beers.
I'm just going to cut to the chase here so I don't have to repeat everything. We thought we were going to get into the radiation oncology issue today. There's still some work being done, and then the other three bills after that have testifiers coming in from out of town. So we're going to wrap up. We're going to recess for now and get back to the committee at 6 o'clock tonight in room 318 unless notified otherwise.
318. Any questions from the committee? Senator
just,
Sharon.
Just to inform the committee, I have a bill that I am presenting this evening in another committee, so I'll be either late or in and out.
Yeah. Senator Sharon, I'm pretty sure we'll be there a while, so come join us when you have the opportunity.
Madam Chair, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. Well, just find us in 318. Senator Lurie.
How do you guys get hearings? I don't have any.
And Madam Chair?
No comment. Senator Higgins.
Is the chair providing dinner tonight for us?
Well, I'm not actually the chair of the committee. So if we'd like to vote for Senator Hand to entertain that motion.
Yes.
We are in recess until 6 o'clock this evening in room 318. I'm sorry, Senator Higgins, you got a question.
Madam Chair, do we have any new bills or is just whatever's left over from this morning?
Just whatever's. Do not throw your packet stuff away. It will just be the bills that are here.
Where are we meeting, Madam Chair?
Room 318.
Thank you.
Any further discussion or motions to make Senator Hand buy dinner? We are in recess until 6 o'clock at room 318.